9. And I want to read for you, beginning in verse 10, and read down through verse 14. Jeremiah 29, 10 through 14. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you and to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. Let's pray together. Lord, I need your help this morning to share the things that are on my heart, things that I believe God can help us all in our spiritual journey. And so I call on the Holy Spirit to move on my life and to speak through my lips and to bring the word of the Lord to the people of God, a word that will make a difference in all of our lives. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I even go to the next passage, I will in just a few minutes is just get you to mark that place right there. We'll probably come back to this at the end of the message and share a few other thoughts with you. But this morning, what I'd like to do for a few moments is to talk to you about walking in God's purpose for your life. The Bible teaches us that we're not here by accident, that we're created on purpose, and we're created for a purpose. In fact, in Psalm 139, the Bible tells us clearly that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God knows all of our days before we have ever lived one of them, that all of those days are written in God's book, and He is aware of them, and He knows them, and He has ordained them. And you know, as I thought about that passage of Scripture earlier, I was thinking, you know, God, some people's lives didn't begin in what we might call a normal way. It didn't begin in what we might call ideal circumstances or situations. And can I just tell you today that I don't understand how God is able to do what He promises to do in the Word. All I know is that He promises to do it, and He says that every life is valuable and every life is precious and every life is sent and ordained by Him. And I don't understand that, but I look at a man like James Robison from Dallas to Fort Worth, Texas, a great evangelist in our generation. And his testimony is that he was the product of a drunken rape. And his mother tried to have him aborted, and the doctor wouldn't do it. And he came into the world anyway. And God still had a purpose and a plan for the life that woman gave birth to in that day, despite those circumstances. And it just confirms in my heart that it doesn't matter where we're from, it doesn't matter really how we got here. What matters is that God loves us and God cares about us, and God has a plan and a purpose for all of our lives. He has a destiny, He has something that He wants all of us to do. And I don't understand how all that works out. I just know what the Bible says about all of that. And listen, some of you here today, and maybe you feel like you're kind of getting toward the end of things, and you wonder, could God still have a plan and a purpose for my life? Can I just tell you today that as long as we're still breathing, God still has a purpose? As long as we're still alive, there's still something we can do for the kingdom of God. And God still has something that He wants to do in us and through us in some kind of way. And I don't know how all that works out. I just know it's so. A couple of the guys that we're going to look at today, this will encourage you. One of them was 99 years old. Another one was 80 years old when God fulfilled the ultimate plan and purpose that He had for their lives. So regardless of how old you might be in here today, God still has something that He can do with your life if you'll yield your life to Him. And can I just tell you this? I know part of God's plan for your life. I've been in the ministry for nearly 40 years, and a lot of times talking to people personally and privately, they'll They'll say, well, how do I know God's will for my life? How do I know what God's purpose is for my life? And that's something that we all search for. Hopefully, as believers, we want to be used for the glory of God in this world. And can I just tell you today that I can tell you exactly what God's plan is for at least part of what God's plan is for every one of our lives today. One of the main things about our life is this, and it's for every one of us, that God wants every one of us to have a personal relationship with Him through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And God wants us, listen, if we are married, God wants us to be godly moms and godly dads. And if we're parents, God wants us to be godly parents and role models for our children. And so these are things that we know of that are God's will for our lives and the certain situations that we are in. And somebody said, well, Pastor, when I think about what is God's will for my life, I don't really mean that kind of thing. I mean, what does God want me to do? And here's the thing I want you to see today. And this is the kind of the essence of the whole message I want to share with you today. God will use all of our lives in some kind of way to glorify His name in this world. But you and I should never chase the purpose or the dream that God gives us to accomplish something for Him. What you and I are supposed to chase instead is to chase after God Himself. I promise you today, and I'm going to show you some examples from the Scriptures this morning, if you and I will purpose to chase after God, and I don't mean chase after God to try to find out what that dream is, I mean chase after God just to know God, just to have a relationship with Him in a personal way. I'm going to tell you today, if you and I will make a decision to chase after God in that kind of way, God will see to it that His purpose finds you and finds me. The principle is in Matthew 6:33. We all know the verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything we need will be added to us. And that means everything. Everything that we need. Part of what we need is to know God's will and what we're supposed to do to Him. Because listen, guys, you and I will never, ever be satisfied and fulfilled in life until we're walking in God's plan and purpose for our life, which begins with knowing Jesus. And let me just add on to that. If we don't make that our priority, listen, nothing else you ever do is ultimately ever going to satisfy your soul or bring peace to your heart. It all starts with knowing Jesus. It all starts with living for Him and having a personal relationship with Him. And if we'll make the decision to seek Him and to set our heart to know Him and to chase after Him, God will see to it that whatever the plan is, whatever it is, and sometimes we know and sometimes we don't. Sometimes God speaks to us and sometimes God gives us a dream and sometimes we know what, well, at least we have an idea of what maybe God wants to do. But a lot of times we don't. I'll just tell you from my own circumstance, my own situation. And I've shared my testimony before about how I've never intended to be a preacher or Bible teacher or pastor of a church. It was never my intention to do this. It was the last thing I wanted to do, to be honest with you. I didn't ever want to do this because public speaking was just not my thing. And I didn't want anything, have anything to do with that. But we made the decision in our lives that we wanted to do what was pleasing to the Lord. And after I was electrocuted, our little church asked me to give a testimony one Sunday morning. And I was terrified, but I did what I believe God wanted me to do, and I shared my testimony in church one Sunday morning. And not too long after that, another church in the area gave me a call and said they wanted me to come and share my testimony. So I did what presented itself to me, and I went and shared my testimony, and then there were nursing homes to minister in, and there was a Bible study that was going on at the church, and my brother led it for years, and then he moved out of town and wouldn't anybody lead the Bible study. And so we just kind of floundered for a while, and I thought, well, I can lead a Bible study. And the opportunity was there, and it presented itself, and I just walked through the door that God opened. I didn't pursue that. Didn't have to. We were pursuing God, and God was making the way. The Bible study led to a Sunday school class, and the Sunday school class led to a home group, and the home group led to a church. And I'm as surprised as anybody to be the pastor of a church, because it's not what I ever envisioned my life would be like. But in pursuing God, God fulfilled His purpose in our lives, you see. And so if we will chase after the Lord and pursue God, God will fulfill His purposes in our lives. I got four examples from the Old Testament I want to share with you today. One is Abraham. You know all of them. You know their stories. The first one is Abraham, who at the age of 75 years old, God told him he was going to be the patriarch to a multitude of descendants that was so many you could not count. Couldn't count all the children he was going to have. And so the Bible said he believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. 10 years later, the man still has no children. His wife is not getting pregnant. Nothing is happening. He has no children. His wife actually gets her maidservant, brings her to Abraham and says, maybe God will give us children through her. Here, take her. And lo and behold, she did get pregnant. She gave birth to a son. His name was Ishmael. Did you know today that many of the Arab nations in the Middle East can trace their roots back either to Ishmael or Esau? Another great grandson of Abraham. And all of these nations that are at war with Israel over there today are actually, it's actually a big family feud. They all claim the heir to the Middle East there, to the Promised Land. Because Abraham is the patriarch of the three great world religions, whether it's Judaism, whether it's Islam, whether it's Christianity, which by the way is actually, Christianity is actually just the conclusion of Judaism, of the Jewish faith, because they brought the Messiah that we believe in. That's why the New Testament tells us that if you're a believer, the true Jew is you. But you see, Abraham is the patriarch of all of these religions, and they all claim the land, and so they're all fighting over the land, but God only had one that was an heir. It was his son Isaac, and his son Jacob, and his children Israel. But it was 10 years after the promise, and he still had no children, and so his wife gives him her maidservant, and she has the child, and it ends up... Brief rabbit trail. Polygamy is never a good idea. Okay? Just throw that in there, all right? And so all of these problems arise out of that. And did you know that it was another 15 years before God ever gave Abraham and his wife Sarah the promised son? About 25 years of waiting. And he's like a 99, 100 year old man before this child is ever born to him. And before God's promise is ever fulfilled in his life. But for the most part, you can read about Abraham in Romans, particularly Romans chapter 4. And you find that Abraham was a faithful man. In fact, he is the father of all who believe. He is the model for us to follow as people who follow God by a simple faith. Abraham was a man who left everything to follow God. And Abraham was faithful to follow God, and because he was faithful to follow God, God's purpose found Abraham. Abraham tried to make it happen. One of our mistakes is sometimes we know too much, and so we try to make things happen. That's a big mistake. Don't try to make the purpose of God happen in your life. Let God fulfill His purpose in your life. You seek after God. The next one is the great-grandson of Abraham. His name was Joseph. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago. He is the 11th son of Jacob, of Israel. He is the favorite son of Israel. He's got 10 older brothers. They all hate him because he is his father's favorite son of his favorite wife. Short rabbit trail. Polygamy is not a good idea. But there's strife in the household all the time between these kids all the time. And, I mean, you know how households are anyway when there's sibling rivalry. And he's got 10 older brothers that hate his guts because his father makes it known that this youngest one is his favorite. Gives him that coat, you know, to show it off to everybody. And I've got to believe there had to be some pride in his heart. It's got to be the only... Why would you go to 10 older brothers that are likely to just beat your brains in and tell them, one day, I'm going to rule over you? That was the vision and the dream that God gave to Joseph. I just got to believe there had to be some pride there for him to go tell that kind of story. Jesus said this. Jesus said, don't cast your pearl before the swine. Some things are to be told and some things are just to be kept in your heart between you and God. But all of this happens and Joseph tells, it's almost like Joseph is saying, guys, not only is our father, am I our father's favorite son, but I'm also God's favorite son because you're all going to bow to me one day. And you know the story about the test that Abraham, that Joseph had to go through and the struggles. But Joseph was faithful through all the struggles that he went through. And ultimately, God did fulfill the dream in his heart. There's no way Joseph could have ever made that dream come to pass. But God could. And as long as Joseph was faithful to the Lord, God was going to fulfill his purpose for Joseph's life. And he did. And I just have an idea that Joseph had no idea how this dream was going to be fulfilled. God, you said one day my brothers are going to serve me. How is that even possible? Here I am in Egypt and I'm a slave, I'm a servant, and now I'm in prison and I'm here for years, I'm here for decades, I'm here forever, it seems like. How in the world am I ever, I just wonder if he didn't maybe even forget the dream. I don't know, after all this time and all that he went through. And then one day, because he hasn't interpreted somebody else's dream, Pharaoh takes him and makes him the ruler of Egypt. And it happens to be during a time of famine. And his brothers live in the land of famine. And they have to come to him, not knowing who he was, not knowing that he was ruling in Egypt, but knowing that Egypt had food and they need to get where the food was. These 10 brothers came down to Egypt where Joseph just happened to be ruling. And they came and bowed down and asked for food. And I just imagine in my own head, When Joseph is standing there and he sees these guys come in and he recognizes these 10 guys and he sees them bow down. Guys, it's been a couple of decades since God gave him this dream. And now all of a sudden, decades later, here they are bowing down before him. I wonder if he didn't have one of those deja vu moments. I think I've been here before. And he looks up and he sees the dream of God fulfilled in his life before his very eyes. And all he did to see it was be faithful to God. Guys, if we'll pursue God, not the dream and the purpose, thank God for the dream and the purpose. But we don't have to pursue the dream and purpose, and we don't have to make those things come to pass. We just have to pursue God. And God will be faithful to bring those things to pass in your life. I'm trying to demystify this whole idea of, you know, what's God's will? What's God's plan? What's God's purpose in my life? It's good to want to know that. But listen, all you and I need to do to see these things fulfilled in our life is just keep chasing God. Just keep pursuing the Lord. Just keep looking after him. Moses is another man. God, in fact, look over at Acts chapter 7. Let me read it from the New Testament. I want to show you something from Acts chapter 7. You know the story of Moses, born in captivity in Egypt. His life is spared when the children were supposed to be killed that were born to the Jews there, to the Hebrews there. And his life is spared by the princess there, and she takes him into her house, and he's raised in Pharaoh's house, and all of this. Look with me at Acts chapter 7 and verse 22. Scripture tells us here that Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds. But when he was approaching the age of 40, it entered his mind to visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. And when he saw one of them being treated unjustly, he defended him and took vengeance for the oppressed by striking down the Egyptian. And he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. Look at what this text implies about Moses. It implies to me clearly there that Moses knew exactly who he was. That Moses, though he was raised in Pharaoh's house, knew he wasn't really Egyptian. that he was one of the Hebrews, like all the slaves are outside doing all the work. And so at about 40 years old, he goes out to visit his family, his brethren out there. And he sees one of them being abused by an Egyptian. And he strikes this Egyptian. He kills him. He buries him in the sand out there. And the text tells us that Moses assumes, listen, that Moses assumes that the children of Israel know that God is going to give deliverance to them by him. Listen to me. That tells me that Moses already knew that his destiny was to be the deliverer of Israel. And yet it would be another 40 years because the Bible says that when the Israelites didn't rise up, Moses became terrified. And he fled and he went out in the wilderness and on the backside of the desert stayed there for 40 years until God shows up to talk to him in the form of a burning bush. And as Moses sought God, God brought his purpose to Moses' life. Moses didn't have to seek the purpose. Moses didn't have to try to fulfill the promise. He tried once and made a mistake. But all he has to do now is pursue God. And when he pursues God, God fulfills his purpose in his life. Let me read just real quickly a couple of verses from the book of Psalms. Psalm 138. Verses 7 and 8. This is a psalm of David, and he says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me." Look at verse 8. "The Lord will accomplish what concerns me." Let me say that again. He says, "The Lord will accomplish what concerns me." In other words, I don't have to be concerned with trying to make things happen. If I trust the Lord will make things happen in my life for me. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. "Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Back in Psalm 57 and verse 2, David would say this, "I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me." I'll cry out to God, and God will accomplish his purposes in my life. He didn't have to chase the purposes of God. In fact, we're talking about David. Look over at 1 Samuel. Back up just a couple of books in your Bible there to 1 Samuel. While you're doing that, I'm going to read one more from the book of Proverbs. You go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I'm going to read for you from Proverbs 19 and verse 21. Proverbs 19 and 21 says, "Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand." Many plans are in our heart, but it's the Word of God that will stand. I think a lot of times we make our plans and God laughs and says, "No, this is the way it's going to be." We talked about Peter and all of the things that he thought and how he missed God. And so many times we make our plans and even though it may be based on a dream, maybe based on a vision, we can't interpret it correctly and we misunderstand what God was trying to say or what God was wanting to do. And so we start pursuing the dream or the vision instead of pursuing God. And as a result of that, we miss what God wanted to do in our lives. Look at a contrast between these others, though, and David in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now, this is before he is the king of Israel. In fact, it's immediately before he fights with Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Here's what I want you to see about the life of David. I want you to see this man who was a man after God's own heart, who doesn't try to make God's purposes come to pass in his life. He just waits on the Lord and lets God accomplish for him what God wants to do in his life. 1 Samuel chapter 16, and look at verse 1. Just the backstory very quickly. Saul is the king of Israel, but he's been rebellious and prideful. and God is going to remove him and he's going to make somebody else the king. He tells his prophet Samuel, go down to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. I'm going to choose one of his children to be the new king. So pick up in verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. And I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself from among his sons. Now go down to verse 10. Jesse gets his sons and they all come out and they parade before Samuel the prophet. It says in verse 10, thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he's tending sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes. So he sent and brought him in. And now he was ruddy. This is David. This is his youngest son. He had beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Now watch the story. David's a teenage boy. He's out in the fields. He's tending his father's sheep. The prophet comes to the house of Jesse. He says, one of your children is going to be the new king. The oldest come by. Not any of these guys. Do you have another son? Well, there's one more in the field. Let me send for him. David comes in. God says, this is the one. The youngest son is going to be the next king. He's just a shepherd, but he's going to be the next king. So Samuel anoints him with oil and then runs for the hills. He's afraid of what Saul's liable to do to him for anointing somebody else to be the king. But what I want you to see is David's reaction. Okay? Because I got an idea. If somebody came to one of us and said, you're going to be the next CEO of Microsoft, or you're going to be the next whatever, our immediate reaction would probably be, pack my bags, I've got to move, I've got to go somewhere, I've got to get to Seattle or wherever the headquarters is, I've got to go somewhere. And we would try to go and we would try to make something happen and we would try to accomplish something in our own strength. David didn't look at his brothers and they're in Bethlehem, and David doesn't look at his brothers and say, guys, pack my bags, I'm heading for Jerusalem. No, what David does is, in fact, look down, I think it's in verse 19. When you get down to verse 19, what has happened here is the anointing of God has come upon David and it has left Saul the king, and Saul gets depressed. And so he says, I need somebody to play some music and encourage me. And they say, there's a kid in Jesse's house named David, and he's a great worshiper, and if you come and play some music, you'll cheer right up. And so he sends for David, and look where it says in verse 19, so Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, look at this, who is with the flock. Samuel came and anointed, brought him out of the field, anointed him with oil to be the next king of Israel. And David doesn't go to Jerusalem to take the throne and try to seize the throne. David goes back into the pasture to tend the flock. He goes right back to doing what he had been doing all along and waited for God to fulfill the promise in his life. Guys, God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us, no matter how old we might be. But look, we don't have to pursue the plan or the purpose. What we've got to pursue is God himself. And if we will be faithful to pursue the Lord and chase after him with all of our heart, then God will fulfill his plan and his purpose for our lives. Your plan may not be some great thing that people write about. These four people that we've talked about today, they all knew what God was going to do, and God did awesome things in their lives, and several of these guys ended up leading nations and all of these kinds of things. And God might not be calling you to lead a nation, but you know what? God is calling you to be faithful wherever you are and in whatever you're doing. And there's an abundance of people in the Bible who were just faithful at what God had given them to do. And they fulfilled their purpose in the faithfulness of God. There are two, we talked about Moses a moment ago in Exodus chapter 1. There are two women in Exodus chapter 1, and I can't even pronounce their names. But they are midwives for the Hebrews. And when the Israelite women are giving birth, they help these women give birth. And Pharaoh says, if a boy is born, don't let him be born alive. You kill him. But these two women fear God. And they're faithful to the Lord. And because they are faithful to the Lord, they refuse to kill the children that are born. And because the boys that are born, Moses is born alive. So that just by being faithful to do what God had gifted them and called them to do, and being a midwife to the children, to the women of Israel, they actually played a part in saving the nation by allowing Moses to be born alive. And there are many examples throughout the Bible of people who just had ordinary lives. And God used the ordinariness of their lives to make them a blessing. I know of one family in the New Testament. I know of one couple in the New Testament. The only thing the Bible ever says about them, and this was their life. Now listen to me. God says, the Bible says this was their life. They got up in the morning. They fixed the breakfast. They went to work. They raised the children. They went home at night. They went to bed. They got up the next day to do it all over again. Day after day after day, this was their lives. Doesn't that sound boring? Doesn't that sound monotonous? Doesn't that sound like, what is the purpose of all of this? Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, their firstborn, He saves us all. He saves us all. I'm just telling you, just by doing what we're supposed to do on a day-to-day basis could pave the way for something awesome to happen in this world. And all we need to do is be faithful to the Lord. And if we're faithful to God, God's purpose will find its way into our lives. Go back over. I asked you to hold on to that passage of scripture from Jeremiah. Go back over there real quickly. Jeremiah 29. Just quickly, if I might give you the backstory of Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah lived in the days of the captivity of the children of Israel for generations. Israel was unfaithful to God. And God promised them over and over and over again, if they would turn and repent, that He would bless them and preserve them. But if they didn't turn and repent, they would be taken captive by nations bigger and mightier than them. And they refused to repent for generations until the time finally came for captivity to happen, just as God had promised. And so the Babylonians come and they conquer the Israelites, and many of them are deported. But God told them and promised them that they would have 70 years and then they would be returned. But here's what I want you to see out of this passage of scripture. Look at it with me again quickly. God says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes, will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. Here's what you got to see. God did not say to Israel, after 70 years, you're going to rise up as a mighty army and you're going to conquer the Babylonians and you're going to break free from their captivity and you're going to go back home to where you came from. That's not what He said. He said, after 70 years, you're going to start searching for me. You're going to seek after me. You're going to pray to me. And when you call to me with all of your heart, I'm going to be found by you. I'm going to listen to you. Let me read it again. Verse 14. I will be found by you. I will restore your fortunes. I will gather you from all the nations, from the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from where I have sent you into exile. God says, when you seek me with all of your heart, I'm going to fulfill my plan and purpose for your life. They didn't have to do it themselves. All they had to do was to seek God. And brother and sister, all you and I need to do is to seek the Lord. All of us have a purpose for our lives. God knows what that is. We may know, we may have a hint, we may have an idea, we may have a dream. Careful how you interpret that dream. You may misunderstand it, Joseph. You may misunderstand it, Moses. It may not go down like you think it's going to go down, guys. But if you'll pursue God, God will fulfill that dream in your heart and in your life. So here's three things, just real quickly to close. How do we find God's purpose for our life? Number one, we be faithful where we are. Be faithful where we are. Number two, be thankful for what we have. Be thankful for what we have. Somebody once said, it's our attitude that determines our altitude. Be thankful for what you have. And then number three, be diligent in what you do. Be diligent in what you do. Everything you find to do, you do it as unto the Lord. You recognize that you, whatever it is you're doing in this world, listen, you do it as unto the Lord. You do it as your service to God. We found it in our Bible study last week ago, from Ephesians chapter 6, that when we serve and do whatever it is we're doing, we do it as unto the Lord. God is the one we serve, and God is the one who will bring forth the reward. Promotion comes from the Lord, the Bible says. And we may not recognize that or understand that, how in this natural world we're doing a natural job. How is it that God is the one who's going to promote us? Can I just tell you? God took Joseph from a prison to a palace in 24 hours. God can promote any of us wherever we are if we're being faithful to the Lord and we're serving Him with all of our heart. Be faithful where you are. Be thankful for what you have. Be diligent in what you do. And remember to seek the Lord. Draw near to Him, just to know Him. And when we're faithful to do that, we focus on the character and not purpose. God will fulfill our purpose, and His purpose will find its way into our lives. God will accomplish what concerns us. Father, we thank you today that you do have a plan and purpose for every one of us. And it may be something that changes the world. Or it may be something that others would consider monotonous and boring. Lord, whatever that purpose is and whatever it is you've called us to do, we know, Father, that that's the place of peace for our hearts and our lives. So, God, we want to know you today, and we want to chase after you, trusting, Lord, that whatever the purpose and plan is you have for our lives, if we will chase after you with all of our heart, you will see to it that your purpose finds its way into our lives, and you will accomplish what concerns us. And now, Father, I pray that you would take this message this day and you would stir our hearts to hope again. And you would stir our hearts to look to you and to expect great things in our lives from your hand as you work your will and your purpose into our lives. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for the life that you've given to us. Thank you for the life that you gave for us. Now help us, Father, to give our lives back to you. Can I ask you to stand with me as we bring our service to a close today and stay in an attitude of prayer with me for just a moment or two? While we stand quietly before the Lord, would you just thank the Lord that He has a plan and a purpose for your life? Something that's really going to give your life meaning and purpose, and it's going to give you hope in your heart. And maybe you've already found it and you've been walking in it for years. Praise God for that. Thank the Lord for that. Realize that you're here today. That means God's not finished with you yet. And there may be still yet more and something else that He wants to do. Keep seeking the Lord with all of your heart and let God fulfill His purposes in your life. Maybe you have an experience. Maybe you're still wondering, what is it God wants me to do with my life for Him and for His sake and for His kingdom? Well, it's fine to ask that question, brother and sister, but look, God wants us to seek after Him. Just to know Him. And to develop a deep and intimate personal relationship with Him. And when we will do that, He will see to it that all of His plans and purposes find their way into our lives. So, Father, I pray today that each one of us would leave here today with the purpose of our heart to cultivate faithfulness to You. To be faithful where we are, to be thankful with what we have, and to be diligent in what we do. I thank You, Lord, as we do these things, Your will be done in us, even as it's done in heaven. And for that we give You praise today, through Christ our Lord. So, Father, I commit my church family into Your hands once again. I ask You to watch over each one of us as we leave this place today. As we set our heart to know You, Father, we thank You for revealing Yourself to us. I pray, Lord, You would bless my precious church family with Your presence, with Your joy, with Your comfort, and with Your peace. With Your hope and with Your love, with Your strength and with Your wisdom, with Your health and Your wholeness. Let these blessings be theirs for Your glory's sake. Keep us, Father, as we go through this week. Help us to be faithful witnesses for You. Use us for the glory of Your kingdom and bring us back together next week to celebrate once again, what You've done in our lives. For hearing this prayer and all of our prayers today, we give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's sing together and we'll be dismissed. And we've prayed for many of you today, but if there's something further we can pray with you about personally, we're always here to do that. And we want you to take opportunity to speak to us and let us do that before you leave here today. Let's sing as we're dismissed. In Your presence, there is peace. In Your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay. In Your presence, day by day. Till Your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us here this Sunday morning. Go out and make it a great day in the Lord.